appearance of Lord Balaram, New Vrindavan, 2012.
When Krishna and Balaram were walking down the forest path, Krishna noticed that the trees were bowing down, heavily laden with fruits and flowers. In reaching to touch his lotus feet with their twigs and branches, seeing the love displayed by the Vrindavan forest, Krishna gave all credit and praise to Balaramji, which is expressed very wonderfully in these opening verses. Krishna is speaking in a light-hearted and jovial mood, but very heartfelt speaking to his brother. Just see how these trees are bowing at your lotus feet, offering their fruits and flowers in the hopes of eradicating the darkness which has awarded their low birth. They felt, the trees felt, that due to their past offenses, they could not wander through the forest paths with Krishna and Balaram. Nevertheless, they were great souls who were experiencing that in Vrindavan there was no limitation. And understanding the mentality of each and every tree, he glanced upon them lovingly, and then continued to express their feelings to Balaramji, as well as the rest of the fauna and flora of Rajadhan. These bees must be great sages, for they are following you everywhere and chanting your glories. Peacocks dance before you out of joy. The doe are pleasing you with affectionate glances, and the cuckoos are honoring you with Vedic prayers. Indeed, the behavior of all the forest residents towards you just befits great souls who are receiving another great soul in their home. The earth has become most fortunate because you have traversed her surface with your lotus feet. You have touched her trees with your fingers, and you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and animals with your merciful glances. And above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women with your two arms, a flavor that is hankered after even by Lakshmi herself. Next, Srila Shukadeva Goswami describes in synopsis the games the cowherd boys would play. They would play leapfrog, and they would spread their arms like wings and follow the shadow of the birds across the surface of the earth. And of course, amongst the most prominent of the activities of cowherd boys is wrestling. And when they would wrestle, at some point they would become tired. And Balaramji would lie down, using the lap of a friend as a pillow, and Krishna would massage his foot to sleep. And this is just after Krishna turned 6, and he was entrusted, he graduated from herding calves to herding cows. And the source of good fortune, not only for Vrajadhan, not only for Krishna, but for everyone, took birth in Gokul. After appearing within the pure mind of Vasudeva, from where he was transferred into the heart of Rohini, and as if from her womb he effortlessly appeared in Gokul. The other night, in considering the role of Sri Advaitacharya in this world, we were reflecting upon the words of Kavi Karnapura, who, as he told Who's Who in Krishna Lila, as the ontological form of the associates in Gaur Lila, regarding Advaitacharya, he quoted from Shiva Tantra, in which the author explains that my master, Lord Shiva, who is the guardian of Vrajadhan, in Kartik, saw how Krishna and Balaram were dancing amongst their gopa friends. And he was so enchanted and drawn into that dance that the great mighty Shankara began to dance like a cowherd, very playfully, rolling like a wheel in circles and spinning like a top and finding so much satisfaction and joy that he prayed to Govinda for birth as a cowherd. And Krishna, who has no deeper aspiration than to fulfill the innermost cherished desires of his devotees, awarded Lord Shiva a second position in Vrajadhan, the first being the guardian of the four directions, allowing only qualified souls to actually enter into the spiritual dynamics of the Dham. And his second role was a gopa. And when Krishna and Balaram would wander through the forest, we see the influence of Guru Tattva inspiring everyone and everything to work together and awarding the satisfaction and joy that ensues when we cooperate in working together. As they're playing in the forest every day, they would be so enraptured in their games and fun that they would forget to eat lunch. And after their mothers so carefully prepared and packed lunches for them, Yogamaya would arrange in Boma Vrindavan, as she does in celestial Vrindavan, a demon to appear at lunchtime every day. The demons in Upper Vrindavan are not envious souls like those of Boma Lila. They are mystic creations of Yogamaya that appear just long enough to facilitate the pastime. And then Krishna dispels of them, and everybody forgot that they ever appeared. And the next time the same demon appears, which they do repeatedly forever, it's another big surprise, unexpected, as if it never ever occurred before, although this goes on eternally. And the gopas would tell Krishna that, you know, after he killed the demon, well, now we're hungry, we should have a picnic. What they mean to say is, Krishna, you should be hungry, and we want you to eat. But we know that you will be more responsive to our desires than to yours. So we're hungry. We want to have a picnic. And then all the gopas were very excitedly open their lunch boxes to see what they have. And they would offer the best of their preparations to one another as well as to Krishna. And he would offer his best preparations to them. And as Lord Brahma, the creator, looked down, thinking, wondering, how did this little gopa just kill that monster like Agashira? Only the power of Godhead could liberate such a demon. And yet this little gopa is offering his best preparations to his gopas, and he sees that when one of them is tasting something and finding it especially delicious, and he offers his remnants to Gopal, he very happily accepts. And Lord Brahma is pondering, this child seems to have all the prowess and potency of Lord Narayan, my father, but he can't be. Because my father, Lord Narayan, would never eat the remnants of the children of farmers. And that's why he stole the cows. The calves and the cow were for us to see. What would happen? Who is this child? The potency which inspires and enthuses and empowers and facilitates us to work together for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, and finding the satisfaction in ourselves in so doing, is the source of all power, Balarama. In synopsis, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes the benefits of pleasing Lord Balaram, in this case Sri Nityananda Balaram, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when he explains briefly his own history, which is an introduction to the history of the greatest medieval, the greatest of any time really, theological masterpiece, Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he explains that I have received the mercy of Madana Mahan, Sri Govinda, and Gopinathji, as well as the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself. And I have attained the divine darshan of Rajadam only by the inconceivable causeless mercy of Sri Balaram. Why? Because during Sankirtan one night, in his ancestral home, when his brother was performing puja, Niketana Ramdas, that somewhat avadutish devotee of Lord Nityananda, came into the assembly, a very playful brother. And he would show his respect and appreciation for devotees by climbing on their back when they offered obeisances, or lovingly slapping them and chastising, "Where have you been so long? I missed you." And knowing that Lord Nityananda resided within his heart, everyone, in great affection and reverence, bowed down when he entered the Sankirtan, except the Kadaraja's brother, who was performing his puja. He did not show any respect to the current representative of Guru Dakta, because he was worshipping a deity. And this so much pained the heart of Nityananda Ramdas that he broke his flute, his dearmost possession, because it was the instrument he used in the service and for the pleasure of the devotees. He broke that flute and laughed. Saying, we see here a second episode of the pastime of Ramaharshan Siddha, or Ramaharshan, who failed to offer respects to Baladev because he was sitting under the Vyasasana, speaking Vedanta before the assembly of sages. The potency of Lord Baladev arises in a heart that is softened by humility and gentleness and tenderness. That inconceivable potency of Lord Baladev appears there. So today is the birth of that Adi Guru, whose blessings are crucial and essential for the beginning and progress and fruition of anything that is truly spiritual. And the representatives of Baladev in the line of Guru Parampara humbly offer as their principal duty the service for their followers of uprooting anarthas, which is the function of that plow to turn over the weeds, to cultivate a field fertile for bhakti lata bija to grow. So as the gopas are playing in the forest, and it's lunchtime, and the fragrance carried by the breeze from that tal forest, tal is a very succulent fruit, very fragrant, and the cowherd boy has used that as an opportunity to express, to Krishna and Balaram, we're hungry. Why don't we have a picnic of the tall fruits from that orchard? And Krishna asks, well, whose territory is that? Who's aware of the possibility of territorial disputes? So, and the Gopa said, well, that forest is guarded by a pack of donkeys. And because of that, Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men avoid the place like the plague. And Krishna thought, that's funny. Why would Nanda Maharaj be so afraid of a group of donkeys? And the cowherd boy said, these are not ordinary donkeys. These are like Rakshasa donkeys. They eat men alive. Krishna Balaram found that a little bit amusing and a little bit enticing, and the gopis urged him on, Krishna, you know, we serve you in Vatsalya Bhav. How that would be enriched if you could dispatch those Rakshasa asses by your pastimes. And then Krishna Balaram very enthusiastically entered the forest in Balaji. He began shaking the trees so vigorously that the whole earth began to shake. Now those donkeys were the servants of Kamsa, whose duty to their king was to make sure that not so much as one of those fruits ever fell into the hands of devotees. Because what do devotees do with everything? They offer it to Guru and Krishna. And those fruits were meant for Kamsa and were sent to him every day as ensured by the pack of wild donkeys. So Devadasura, the leader of the pack, brayed viciously, ran to Baladev, and this ass turned his rear end to Baladev and began kicking at him. And Baladev took the opportunity to seize his hind legs and twirl around until the centrifugal force liberated him, and he threw him up into the trees. As did Krishna Balaram dispatch the rest of that herd to the abode of death. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as Krishna Samhita, inaugurated the trend which acharyas have followed in deciphering what these demons in Krishna Lila represent in terms of the arthas within our own hearts. And in regards to the occasion we're celebrating today, we might specifically consider the significance of the demons that are killed by Baladev. What does Dengakashira represent? A donkey is a beast of burden, commonly used by the washerman to carry heavy loads of dirty laundry. This represents the nature of the conditioned soul who carries the heavy burden of dishonesty, deceit, forgetfulness of our constitutional position, lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy. We're carrying this heavy load within our hearts, and that makes the upward path of sadhana bhakti very burdensome. And it makes proper darshan and parikrama of Vrajadham impossible. Dhanavasura represents the conditioned soul who utilizes his senses, mind, intellect, and all his resources for the pursuit of mundane relationships based on the flesh, and considers that the material world is all in all, without considering that life has much more meaning and significance than this. So the Sakas pleaded with Krishna Balaram, show your prowess, enrich our Sakya Bhav. And they liberated the entire herd. And in the process of throwing them into the trees, all the fruits fell to the ground. The whole countryside was covered in these tall fruits. And then decorated further by the flowers that the demigods were showering down from heaven. A very beautiful landscape. And then the songs that the gopas spontaneously composed to glorify Krishna Balaram's chivalrous deed, to the accompaniment of flutes and buffalo horns, and the demigods joined in the kirtan, and it was a beautiful scene. And the atmosphere was purified and sanctified and jubilant. Later on, the other most prominent of the Brajlila demons liberated by Baladev is Paramashiva, who on the gross level represents lustful ambition, which has its subtle manifestation in terms of the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. Subtler still is the influence of the thief in disguise who strives to steal ourself from itself. This means Mayava, impersonalism, which targets Guru and minimizes his position. So Balambasura was afraid of Krishna, having heard of his trials, but he thought Balaram must not be so powerful. Perhaps I can defeat him. So he studied how the gopas assemble and play. And he knew that one day, one particular gopa cannot join Krishna and Balaram in the forest with the cows. So by his mystic potency, he assumed the form exactly in every detail. That particular gopa, the way he dressed, the way he looked, the way he spoke, the way he interacted with the other gopas, nobody could tell that this is an imposter. And by the influence of Yoga Maya, even Balaram didn't know. So, amongst their games was cops and robbers, and sheep and shepherds, and typically, whoever lost a particular game or match had to carry his victor upon his shoulders. So the gopas elected the Krishna and Balaram be their team leaders. Krishna's team lost, for which Krishna carried Sri Dhamma on his shoulders. For which he has been glorified and praised ever since. In the words of such great souls as Kunti Devi and Kovalat Sridhar, explaining how wonderful is Krishna that is defeated by Sridhara and is carrying him on his shoulders. But Balaram won. So he got to ride on the shoulders of that gopa. And that gopa took off running. And when he reached the boundaries to which their play should extend, he kept right on going. And Balaram was wondering, where is this gopa taking me? This is not part of the game. to go this far off into the forest. And he's wondering, is this really one of the Gopas? Because he'd learned by that time that demons came every day. And he was wondering, is this one of them? And then Balaji began to expand his energy, which we call gravity, becoming heavier than Mount Sumeru, to try to stop that Gopa from carrying him away from his friends and his brother. And then Pralamba responded by assuming his actual form, a huge and mighty, hideous, ghastly form, rising into the sky like a dark cloud with the moon floating on top of it. Balaram. And then, as this massive, darkish form and copper-red hair and long fangs and pointed ears began to expand, Balaram understood for sure this is a demon. And at first he was scared. But then he realized there might be another one back there attacking my brother. So I better get back and see. So with his fist, this tender little Gopa Baladev cracked the demon's skull and brought him down. And then he ran back to see if Krishna and Balaram, if Krishna and the Gopas were all right. Mayavad targets the function and position of Gurudev, and by minimizing that, can cripple our spiritual progress. The demons who are killed by Baladev, according to the Bhaktivinoda Thakura, represent those anarthas which don't just automatically dissolve by our sadhana and our chanting of the holy name, but who emphasize the importance, the essential significance of taking shelter of Gurudev and the association of devotees, which are words that benediction of Balaram's blessings, which simultaneously appears in a heart that has become so deeply humble that the spirit of Baladev emerges there and kills the demons within. The significance of the big brother goes back to Ramlila, which was just filled with suffering, sacrifice and sorrow. And as the younger brother, Lakshman, hearing of the curse, he didn't have to go with Ram to the forest. He was not duty-bound by a vow, as was Sitadevi. He went of his own accord. And in the forest, day and night, attentive to all duties, clearing the forest path, building the hut, preparing the bed for Sita and Ram, and standing guard all night to protect them from Rakshasas. Never asking for anything for himself. Never sleeping, never eating. Joyful in the sacrifice. What does this mean? In this material world, the conditioned soul seeks all kinds of arrangements of sensual pleasures and mental hallucinations, which the mind, in desperation, interprets as pleasure. But it cannot reach the heart to avoid the true satisfaction that the soul is seeking. Srila Prabhupada began one lecture in 72 on Henry Street, Brooklyn. The first words, I'll never forget, everyone is seeking satisfaction. So true. But where is it to be found? Only in spiritually directed loving relationships can the heart find satisfaction. And therefore, those who perform the greatest sacrifice as an expression of their love are the most fortunate. Lakshman facilitated so many pastimes to glorify Sita Thakurani's chaste dedication. And when Lord Ramachandra ordered him to prepare that funeral pyre for her to enter, he turned to the Lord, thinking that his pleadful glance would evoke the Lord's mercy and he would cancel that instruction. He didn't. And then later, on the most joyous occasion, when Sita Devi, in the garden one morning, informed her Lord that she was bearing his child, that was the same day that in the assembly, Bhadra, the courtier, in Ayodhya, as he delivered the, I guess it was like what we call a State of the Union address, where he was saying everything is fine in the kingdom, but Lord Ramachandra detected that there was some dichotomy between what his words were saying and what his heart was feeling. So he asked him, what is the real condition? And had to reveal that the rumor had resurfaced, the suspicion about Sita Devi's time in the palace of Ravana. So Lord Ramachandra told Lakshman that Sita Devi has so long been yearning to return to be sages in the hermitages surrounding Valmiki Muni's ashram. Because when she was accepting the service and the hospitality of those sages, she could not reciprocate with them or their wives because they had nothing to give. She wants to go back to distribute charity amongst the wives of the sages. So take her there. But don't bring her back. And don't tell her that she's being taken there to be forsaken and abandoned. Just leave her. That instruction went against every fiber of his being. But as a younger brother, he had to fulfill that order. And as Sita Devi descended from the chariot, to offer her prayers to the river, being so happy to be back amongst those sages that had shown them so much kindness during their years of exile. And she saw that Lakshman was trembling, and she asked, has separation from Ram for such a short period affected you even more than me? And he turned to see today. And he told her, I am gazing upon your face for the first time ever, to look into your eyes for the only time, to say goodbye for the last time. And as he drove the chariot out of the forest, leaving her behind, overwhelmed with the cries of Sita Devi, which were resounding through the forest, echoed by all the fauna and flora, he resolved then and there that he would never again take birth as his Lord's younger brother and have to dutifully follow every instruction. But he'd become the big brother, so he could give him instructions and tell him what's right and what's wrong. Because it's a mixture of Vatsalya Bhav. Elder brother has some of the privileges of the father. And then, finally, she was thinking she was more of a burden to Ram than a service. So to fulfill her desire, the earth opened up, and Bhumi arose on the throne, took Sita Devi to her side, and said, "Let it end," and closed up. In that way, she returned back to the earth from which she had initially emerged, in the furrow, from the plow. Dasarath was preparing the sacrificial animal. So as Lakshmana's service glorified the devotion of Sita Devi, in Brajadam, when he returned as big brother, he serves the Lord in every respect. As Anantashesha Vaikuntha, he expands as the Aishwarya Dham to serve Narayan in every respect. In Braja Dham, Balaram expands as the Dham to facilitate as Saka, in Vatsalya, and even in Madhurya, he expands as Srimati Ananda Manjari, who resides in a kunj, within the heart of Radha Kunj, where she makes all artful arrangements for the pleasure pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. This is Baladev's expansion, his own internal potency, who serves in Madhurya Ras in such a sweet, innocent, youthful, Manjari form. And this is what we sing every morning. Nikunja yuno ratikedi sidhan, gayayu deyotir akshati. The spiritual master is assisting the gopis in making artful, tasteful arrangements for the pleasure pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. But his first duty is uprooting the anarthas in his disciples' hearts. And sometimes those who are privileged to be in Srila Prabhupada's presence would see that he could be soft as a rose and hard as a thunderbolt. As when speaking about such personalities as Mayavadis and Sahajis, and when he would use strong words, like, "I kick them in the head with my boots." Now, has anyone ever seen Srila Prabhupada wearing boots? But he would say this in very animated gesture. And you might be wondering how his mood could so remarkably change just by one word like Mayavadi, Sahajya, or scientist. This is the spirit of Baladev. riding on the back of Palumbo, realizing this is not my Gopa friend, this is a demon, crashing him in the skull with his hard fist. More destructive than thunderbolts. Because then Balaram, little Gopas, they're softer than butter. But when the threat arises, this enemy is attacking the devotees, trying to take away their faith in Guru. Then he who is normally softer than the rose becomes harder than the thunderbolts. That's just for the Prabhupada in some statements. It's like, get the edge of my boots. This is the spirit of Baladev. And to see it was wonderful. And it left everyone feeling so edified and purified and inspired. So the team led by Dainagushira illustrates the followers of Kamsa who reside in the house of fear. And at times we can analyze our thoughts and motives. Are we speaking or acting out of fear, due to condition? If so, then today we celebrate the birth of the original Guru, who can help us to better understand the heart of our individual Guru, who is protecting, inspiring, training, and disciplining the infant Krishna consciousness within our own hearts, preparing us to return to Brajadam, the eternal abode where Sri Sri Krishna and Balaram forever play, attracting the hearts of all souls to join for eternal entourage. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Well, first of all, I would qualify that Srila Prabhupada is very fond of science, because the original scientists in the East were sages, in the West were men of the church. But like all good things, when they fall into the hands of the demons, they're used for the slight twist of the wrong purpose. Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai.